I want to sing number 103 in the songbook. And then I know that I said that we would look at this passage of Scripture again tonight. And I said that I asked you to think about it today. And I said that I would give opportunity for anyone who would like to maybe say what came into their minds as they thought about this today to do so. You'll remember that the passage was in Philippians 2. And for tonight, let's just take verses 5 to 11. And maybe you were thinking about it, had something to say about one of the first four verses. Please do that, okay? If you'd like to. But I'd just like to read these seven verses before we sing. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him, and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Gracious God, we thank you for your wonderful word. And we pray that as we look at it this evening for a few moments, you will touch our hearts. You will help us to give your word the proper reverence that is due, the very breath of God, his inspired word. And we pray that you will change our hearts. Help us to see you. Help us to see you more clearly with the eyes of our hearts. And Lord, let us be inspired. And let us be challenged. And Lord, we just pray that you will change us, Lord. Inflame our hearts, O Lord. And change our lives as you come to us to renew our minds and transform us. Thank you for the power that there is in your holy word, taken into our hearts and applied to our lives by the Holy Spirit. And so we bow before you this night and pray that you will have your way, even as we share from this passage. Help us to worship you with all of our hearts. Amen. 103, let's stand. Those who'd like to stand with me, do so as we sing 103. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Oh, wonderful Savior, in my place condemned he stood. Oh, Savior, wonderful Savior, loving Savior, in my place condemned you stood and sealed my pardon with your blood. Hallelujah, hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Someone told me this morning, I'm not calling on this person, but this touched me at the end of meeting. They came up to me and said, "That's my favorite passage in the Bible." I said, "Wow, that's great. Brother Phil picked your favorite passage in the Bible. You're going to tell us about that tonight?" And I'm not sure. So, this is all strictly voluntary, but I'd love to hear from some of you. What you've thought of is, I'm sure, worth hearing.
I was thinking about some of that throughout the day today, and being like-minded with, like Christ, and the passage that comes after about and being a servant, and how that goes so against the grain of our natural thinking. Everything in this world bombards us with being the best that we can, being better than the other person, and to do it at any cost, even if we have to step on them and kick them and do it, claw our way to the top. That's the way the world goes, and they admire you if you do it. But in Jesus' scheme of things, he was the servant of all. And that's the mind he wants us to have. How do we do that? In Colossians, it says to set our affections on things above. In the NIV, it says set our minds on things above and not on the things of this earth. And in Romans 12, it also says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. And it's already been mentioned, but there's a great battle that goes on in our minds, and the enemy will put thoughts there all day long. Some of them are innocuous and the everyday things, but others are also sinful, and we need to be able to turn these thoughts over to Jesus. How do we do that? By getting to know Jesus better. The more we get to know him, the more he checks our thoughts. He helps us to turn those thoughts over to him. Instead of wanting our own way, wanting to do our own thoughts and following our own way, we follow his voice. And we heard last night to set the Lord always before me, and we were admonished to set the Lord, the crucified Christ, before us as we prayed. And I think that another good thing is to set our minds or set our affections on things above. And we need to do that by getting full of the Holy Spirit, getting full of his love. We can't have that servant heart without the love of God being spread abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And I want to get more full of the Spirit so that his love is shed abroad in my heart and that I have that servant's heart like he wants me to have.
Thank God.
Okay, as I was thinking about this verse, it allowed me to reflect on a different verse, open up my past experience or past times that I read, and it's in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. And if I'll read it real quick, it's in Galatians 5, verses 22 down, and it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are in Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not desire of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." And if we look at the 23rd verse, it says meekness, temperance. So meekness is basically humility. And Jesus came from full divinity, all glorious, Lord of Lords, King of Kings. He came from everything to nothing. He showed ultimate humility by becoming a servant. And Apostle Paul talks about dying daily to our flesh. And imagine the sacrifice Jesus had to do, the pain he went through every day, knowing that he was God, knowing that if someone said anything to him, or when the whole Roman Empire went against him, that he could have easily sent angels down to destroy them. But he showed also humility by loving them and being in the Spirit. So it's very easy for us to say it's hard for us to be humble. It's very easy for us not to try. But then when we look at Jesus, how much he suffered, let it be just an example or a word of encouragement to try even harder. Because we all are selfish. We're all born into sin, and we all want more for ourselves. But I encourage you, next time someone does an evil deed to you, pay it back with goodness, not evil. And let us all pray for that on our own. Because if we live in the Spirit, if we live not to our flesh, then we will be like Jesus. Because as Christians, we are his example. We are representing him. And if we show anything different, then I guess you call us fakes, because we wouldn't be the light or the salt of the world.
To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask to be like him. So be careful, so humble and holy. All I ask to be like him.
We're in the second week of camp, and it appears that the first week of camp was themed after God being all-powerful and the healing that he can bring. There were some testimonies of people needing prayer for healing, and also lots of reports of how God had healed in the past. There's hope for the future. In the second week, the theme seems to be having a mind like Christ, and I was flipping through my Bible, and I looked back at Romans chapter 8, a very popular chapter in the Bible, and I came to a couple of verses that applied. And it says in verse 6, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Verse 7 reads, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is subject, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be." And it can be very hard to keep that mind, a spiritual mind, because like some physical objects get, physical snares get in the way, like working in the kitchen, you get a little tired, you get some cabin fever, and it's hard to keep a spiritual mind. You get a carnal mind, you get a little impatient, and you have to, as everyone is saying, keep the mind that is in Christ, and have patience or long-suffering, as I think it's Luke that just that read that from the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians. And that the carnal mind, it says that it's at enmity with God. And it's funny how we can slip back when we slip into a carnal mindset. We once again turn back into like being an enemy of God in a sense. And we need to make sure that we're always on God's side and performing His will and not letting Satan trick us into once again sinning and being against God. So.
Praise the Lord. Master, thou wilt keep us by thy grace divine, always on the Lord's side. Savior, always thine. Thank you, Lord, for your grace divine and power to keep. Thank you. This has been good. Someone else.
Philippians 2 has always been my a good modifier in my favorite passage of the Bible, because I feel that it is full of a lot of great reminders. It talks about how God is humble. It talks about how we should tend to be like minded to the Lord. It talks about how one day everyone will realize that Jesus is Lord. And I heard that in your passage when it first really stuck out to me was, and I've gone through a phase in my life where I really longed for a deeper relationship with God. And I remember listening to an audio series and a person quoted that. And I was like, where is this in the Bible? Going to have to read it. And I was so overjoyed, and I was like, this is really a great passage. And I took that verse and made sure I marked it in my Bible, and I actually wrote that verse on my finger sheet so I can use it as an everyday reminder. And a lot of people come up to me, and I use it as a great witness and opportunity, because I feel it is also a good witnessing passage, and a lot of people have been encouraged by that passage, and I really do that. And I really feel everything that I said about it.
Since we're on the topic, is it okay if we sing a song? It's in the camp book, number 24.
What's the name of it?
Humble Thyself.
Sure.
But I can't start it. I'm going to let you do this.
You say number 24.
Yep.
Thank you. step. And it's a down. People, this song's talking about walking with God, and someone said the mind of Christ, and before you can walk with God, you have to hear from God. And if you can't hear from God, you may have a problem. It's a simple story. Maybe sound very mundane, you know, like not important, but earlier, like God's interested in the big things, the small things. Earlier, I was going to wash clothes, and there's two machines. So I'm approaching the machines, and something told me, don't use the one on the right. So normally I listen to this thing. I believe this is the comfort of speaking to you daily, telling you what to do, constantly bombarding you all day long. And that's how you're able to walk with God, by listening to the comforter, the Holy Ghost. And so, anyway, so I didn't listen. I decided, don't be ridiculous, leave me alone. I'm going to use the machine, that one I'm looking at. And so I used it, and supposedly it's messed up, and my clothes got all gooky, and so that was a mistake. So anyway, the bottom line is, God, even coming here, God, normally I wouldn't pick a place like this to come, but God bombarded me to come here, so that's why I'm here. But anyway, so the bottom line is, you need to, in order to walk with God, humble yourself, and do all these things that all these songs and this whole Bible tells you to do, you need to hear from God. And then after you hear from God, you need to obey. Like, I didn't obey using the machine. So it may sound simple or not important, but that's just an example. The comforter speaking, and you need to obey. You need to listen in order to do this walk.
The Lord in the light of